Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for Dungeon Masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat from Gamescom 2016. Thank you for joining us, everybody. Fran Mirabella is here on my right.
Hey, Guardians.
And with us today is Scott Taylor.
Hi.
Hi, how's it going?
It's okay.
CJ?
Oh, look at this.
Close. Nailed it.
I tried to rehearse this.
Oh, my God. Look at that.
Beautiful photo.
That is, Jesus.
I have wanted an excuse.
Look at that
to
makeup.
To use the headshots you guys give us
sure.
in all your press kits
uh-huh.
for a year.
If you can't, if
you look great.
If you're listening, I look very good. If you're watching, I am so sorry. It's rough.
We actually got to hold
on this
for the rest.
Yeah.
For
the rest.
And also, Deej. Deej is joining us today.
Check
Deej not,
out.
Not as big.
Deej's photo. We didn't want your ego to get too big, so we made yours a little.
I get a small photo. I get a little baby photo.
What kind of operation is this?
But anyway.
See, we're trying to keep this a surprise on CJ, who's on the show, the video game, walking around under ladders. He's like, I'm just adjusting something. They got very suspicious.
No, this is great. This is why
that's
flew to Germany.
Better. Much
better. This is good.
Thank you guys so much for joining us.
Yeah, this is awesome. Yeah. Or it was awesome. It's fine now.
It's good to be back.
Now it's fine.
It is good to be back.
So you're here. You got some new maps to show us, and the big reveal, private matches.
Yeah.
How excited are you guys to reveal this?
Oh, I'm excited. I mean, I'm really happy that it was really nice to come here and be able to reveal it the way we wanted, and we were very excited about that, and now we're excited to talk about it, because I've done some really cool things in private matches. Have you played much private matches?
I played a little bit in the studio,
okay.
And Cosmo, he took home some of the kits for some of the
take-home
play tests.
Yeah.
And he came back in, and he's like, private matches.
It's really fun.
He's awesome.
I was playing...
We played vehicle elimination last night, and
I was playing some one-on-one, just stalking friends, and it was, oh my God, it was so fun.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm stoked. Actually, I don't think I've seen it yet, but how does it work in the setup to get the, 12 people into orbit? Is that how it works?
Mm-hmm. You go to the Crucible page,
mm-hmm.
and then there's a big highlighted section that says private matches, kind of underneath the main line, like in the middle, it has its own spot. You go in there, and the interface looks like orbit, and you see your clan roster on the side, on the mm-hmm. left side. And then as you join up, and I think on the roster page in general, you can see your clan mates now as well. Yeah.
So you bring in your six. How do you get the other six in there?
Join.
Yeah, you just dogpile into the lobby, then everybody is Alpha or Bravo.
Yep, mm-hmm. and then you can
then
switch
using
with
your L1 or R1 or your bumpers. If you'd be Xbox, you can just change teams that easily.
Oh, so they're joining your clan private match.
Correct, and so whoever's hosting it is the clan that's highlighted.
Yep,
got it.
Yeah, and they're not joining your clan. Your clan hosts the private match, and if you don't have a clan, we say no clan affiliation, which is we might as well just say go to Bungie.net and make friends. But it's pretty cool. If they do something interesting and clever, and if they create an experience that is, pervasive and the entire community loves, we'll support that. There were actual griftball courts that shipped, in subsequent titles of Halo. And, with private matches, we're giving them, the opportunity to combine different modes and maps and fun different ways. You know, in take-home play tests, vehicle elimination has been a lot of fun. You know, the competitive community can scale it down to 6v6, 5v5, 4v4, whatever they want to do. Like we were saying before, 6v1.
That's what I'm excited for.
Yeah. Steve Cotton and Lars Bakken were encouraging that I start a new feature called Community Beatdown, where I play against six people from the community, and they can all just be like,
that's right!
Can they be low light and you be like Max or something?
You all have to use year one weapons. We're turning light on, and I come in as the juggernaut.
I like it.
And, you know, but
maybe they should all have to sword hilt you.
I haven't thought of that one.
Melee that's only, and I have a Gjallarhorn.
Yeah, you have a Gjallarhorn, and all they can do is get around you with a sword hilt. I like that idea.
We'll pitch all these ideas when we get home.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll go great.
Yeah. We just figured out the new mode that Bungie will be introducing from the community like 3 or 4 months from now, because that's the mode, the sword hilt mode.
Definitely. Matchmaking is really, really exciting. You guys know how much I love the raid and raids and stuff. I have to ask, you just talked to Edge, and you said you feel like you've dialed in the time for a raid, and that 8 hours seemed too long. Could you elaborate on that quote?
It's a big topic right now.
Who gave that quote?
I don't know. Yeah.
8 hours is too long for a raid?
My daughter was having her tonsils out that day, so I don't know who said that. I think what they were trying to – I don't know. Actually, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm
this
not
going to
– I don't know who said this. I know.
But how do you quantify the new raid, you know, versus – Taken King. Now people are worried. That's the new discussion.
Is it going to be 30 minutes long now?
No.
They're worried
that
you're taking things out to make it shorter strategically. How would you address that comment?
No. The way I think of it certainly is that each raid is thematically different. Each raid has a different length, and those things are – it's not about – I don't think. There's not this desire to just like, keep making longer raids.
Yeah.
Like, I don't – like, I think so – what maybe is being pointed out there is it's not as long as the last one, but it's unique to this experience and the culmination of PvE for Rise of Iron, and rest assured it is not 30 minutes. So
yeah.
I remember before Destiny launched, and we were saying so many things about the game, you know, in certain situations maybe too many things about the game, and I always lived under the threat of mortal peril. You know, Luke Smith would pull me aside and say, you will say nothing about the raid. So those lessons sunk in pretty deep. And when the raid team goes out and they say stuff about their work, I let that stand on its own. You know, and when people go in and they play this next raid, they'll tell us if they think it feels too long or too short. However, you know, it has been play tested a lot at Bungie. And, you know, Cosmo's a much better raider than I am. And he was singing it praises.
He thought
it felt pretty cool.
Yeah.
I've also asked you this one before. Raid matchmaking. Will we ever get it?
Ever is a pretty heavy
okay,
word.
Let me dial it in. Raid matchmaking. Are we getting it with Rise of Iron?
No. Nope.
Got it. All right. Well, that was easy.
Yeah. Get your clan together. And we have some. So there's some new tools there to hopefully help. But there's a raid matchmaking, like an in-game clan roster.
Yeah, like an in-game clan roster. The interesting thing about the in-game clan roster is if you join a clan, you now have like a private discussion board that you can use on Bungie.net. But there's no guarantee that you're going to be able to find every single person in that clan and exchange friend requests with that person. Mm-hmm. So the fact that we have an in-game roster now, all you have to do is get accepted into the clan, and you now have up to 100 other people that you can access and see when they're online. So it makes the social cohesion of that clan so much simpler in Destiny. So I really hope that helps people find people to play with. And the Guardians love working together to overcome these challenges. And, you know, it's not my job to explain the, you know, decisions made by the raid team, but for every tweet I see where people say, hey, man, I'm really tired of people quitting these Crucible matches. I'm really tired of joining Crucible match in progress. And it's like, yeah, but you heal the experience when someone quits. Mm-hmm. That's an 8-minute experience.
Yeah.
A blind foray into a raid that could take 2 hours or 8 hours or 1 hour with a, you know, pickup groups take longer than a seasoned crew. I can't even imagine the amount of angst that would come out of we fought all the way through to the last encounter, and then some guy who didn't have a mic and had to go to dinner dropped out of the room. I think it would be pretty disastrous.
So it sounds like what you're saying is that your current infrastructure could not support raid matchmaking. Is that correct?
No.
So
what I'm saying, what I'm saying is is I think raids are the most challenging activity on the director. Mm-hmm. And I think you guys understand them quite well. And I think anybody who has played a raid knows that to come into a raid through matchmaking and to find that you're on a team with people who don't have mics or don't know what's going on or aren't willing to cooperate with each other, or someone's like, I just hit this note on the director. I had no idea what it was. This is taking a really long time, and I have to go to school now. Bang, done, off, quit. It would ruin the experience for a lot of people. So this is an opportunity for us to say to the Guardians, bring a team. The only way this is going to be a good experience is if you bring a team that has made a commitment to each other in advance to work together and to talk together and to finish together. And until we can arrive at a better place where we can guide that in some way, I think raid matchmaking would be pretty detrimental to the overall brand of what a raid is.
Do you think that better place is in the future?
I hope
maybe
so.
A game with a two on it.
Yeah, well, it's certainly
Destiny
not. It's
two.
Certainly not in the past. So I guess that leaves the future as our only option. And I have nothing to say about Destiny 2. But I do feel pretty strongly, as somebody who pays a lot of attention to our community,
yeah.
that you know, raid matchmaking could be kind of a blight on the way people think of the raid and the way people talk about the raid. So
got it. You want to ensure that experience is as golden as it can be.
Yeah, and I like to set really good expectations for our players as to what you're up against and what this requires.
Got
you
it.
Know, matchmaking is great for the Crucible. It's like an atom smasher. You know, it's like a particle collider. And you just take all the players in the world and you spin them up and, you know, they smash into each other and it all explodes and there's all this energy and it's awesome. But, you know, the matchmaking discussion around the Crucible is also pretty extensive, you know, and how that should work and how that leads to the best quality experience. So if we open that up into raids, that would be a whole new can of worms.
Got it. One other, sorry, Fran.
No,
one other thing from Edge that I wanted to hit on that got me really excited, and I brought it up. You gave me that Seven Seraph shirt, and I've been going crazy ever since. But they said, also mentioned that there could be a new friendly faction in Rise of Iron. Is that accurate? Could you elaborate on that note?
Are we getting a new faction? I actually don't know what that means.
Yeah, I don't either.
So we're gonna figure it out. I don't know what that means. I'm serious. So yeah.
So with Rise of Iron,
yeah.
Are we getting a new faction?
No.
There.
Yeah.
I think you
helps.
Just answered
but I,
the
but
question.
But see, the thing is yeah. I think that what we're trying to figure out is if they're talking about the Friendly Fire artifact, where the Fallen can turn to your side, or if they're talking about the a weapon.
That
we're not sure. So we're trying to figure it out.
There's a new quote about allegiance. And there was actually speculation.
I know,
and actually,
you have us at a disadvantage.
Yeah, you do.
Someone
asked me about it, and I was like, I haven't read it. I don't know.
Well, because like they don't have digital downloads that I'm aware of for Edge, so we didn't even have the mag ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
But that alone helps confirm that there's not you know, a new friendly faction. People were saying, oh, it must be you can be allegiant to Saladin, and even that's super helpful. Is there like other new foundries? And we thought maybe there could be a misquote.
I don't think we're talking about that yet.
No?
If there are, so, yeah.
Okay.
All right. Cool. Fran, you had a question?
Oh, no. It was really just completing the thought about the raids. You are giving new tools to the community, though, via the app and Bungie.net, right, in terms of filtering through, looking for, right?
Yeah, the recruitment forum is a lot more elegant right now. You can go in, and when you want to find people to play games with you on Bungie.net, you can actually filter it by activity. You can filter it by platform. So someone could go in and say, I want to play Trials of Osiris on the PS4. And as people sign up to play, it even tells you you have 4 slots open, 3 slots open, 2 slots open. So at a glance, if someone comes in and they look at the new recruitment form, come to Bungie.net, click community, click recruitment. It's got its own place. It's got its own home in the interface. You can come in there and you can say, I want to play the raid tonight. Who needs somebody? And you can go through and just see all these people that want to play King's Fall or Wrath of the Machine. And you're like, oh, great, this one has 1 seat left. And you go in there. You can even read the comments from the people who have signed up. So if a bunch of people said, well, I've never done it before either, it's like, you know, but if someone says, like, yeah, I've done it, I'm a raid master, you know, we're looking for one, you know, and you can sign up and come along.
Yeah, and even just the... It's really powerful, even in game, just going to the roster page and be like, "Hey, look, this many people are on." Mm-hmm. I mean, for us, it was with some of the take home stuff. They auto put us into fake clans.
Yeah,
and it was really fun. Like
I
you'd
didn't
be like
that.
You didn't?
I'm really.
What was
really
your fake clan?
I don't remember.
What was your fake
but
clan?
It wasn't TTL.
Mine was
Gunslingers.
Memory of Felwinter. I was super excited.
Memory Felwinter.
Memory of Felwinter. I was like, oh, this is
Felwinter.
Good. That sounds like a good clan
name.
Names
were cool, but I've been in the same clan for a decade. So I was like, what are you? You can't just.
Yeah, it was funny.
Yeah,
it was a test. It and it was. I got really excited because it put us with other Bungie people. I was like, oh, this is great. Like. And so, yeah, it was really organic and nice.
Are those tools going to be in the app at all? I thought that it was announced they were going to be, but I might be...
Yeah, they're there.
They're already in the app.
Yeah.
So you can use the same thing. Okay, I haven't used them in the app yet. So
and then the roster will update when the game updates. The in-game roster.
Right, that piece of it.
I'll link that to the blog. If Iron Banner's coming back, I'll go through and I'll click through. And it even gives me a nice clean URL. So I can click PS4, Iron Banner, and it gives me a nice URL. So we're trying to guide people there gently. So if somebody's reading the article and they're like, well, I've never played Iron Banner because I can't have a fire team. And I'll click, like, if you need to make some friends, bam, and then
there it is.
There it is.
Here's a Rise of Iron really nitty-gritty question that I noticed. In the Game Informer coverage, it looked like Shiro's bounties were back to rewarding 5,000 experience and 5,000 rep. Is that something we can expect from him only or her? Or will other bounties have that as well?
I believe that was still being tuned, so I actually don't know where we are landing on that.
Because it's a 50% increase over the lowest level bounties.
I believe at that point, when they were playing with it, I believe Shiro's bounties were still work in progress from how they were rotating to what the rep was. And so I actually don't know. Well, I'm not saying it's not true.
Okay.
I'm saying I actually don't know where that is as of this minute.
All right, got it.
Yeah. We're still finishing it. Yeah. So like back home right now, it's very close. We're down to the end, but there are very talented, smart people that I miss very much.
Smart people.
They are smart. They're smarter than me. Yeah. And they're working on it. They're probably awake now. Yeah. And so they're working really hard to make it, using every last bit of time to finish it up.
That's good.
So, yeah.
One thing we know isn't coming is an increase from level 40. Mm-hmm. Why did you guys make that decision?
We decided to do a light level increase that's pretty substantial. And so we have a 385 at launch, and all paths can lead to 385. So however you want to get up there, you can do it through trials and through Iron Banner and through the raid. And then, whenever we release the hard mode raid, there's going to be another bump of 15, and also all paths can go to 400 then. So we're trying that.
The conversation about player progression in terms of Rise of Iron has been a lot easier this time. You know, you remember this time last year with the Taken King, we were coming out and saying, okay, this is how light works now. Mm-hmm. This is how engrams work now. Let's talk about what, infusion is. Let's talk about why you don't need etheric light anymore. And, we were calling it Destiny 2.0. We were calling it Year 2 of Destiny. We're trying to broadcast to the Guardians, Year 1 was informative. It was educational. We learned from your chatter. We studied our audience. The April update was a great refinement of all that. You know, we gave many different avenues to reaching the maximum, light level. And we feel like the game is in a pretty good place right now. It respects the time that you spend in the world. It lets many different types of players become powerful, become all powerful. And that's a good foundation we can build on now. And at this point, coming to Gamescom, really what we're saying to people is, we have a new adventure for you. And the things that you've enjoyed since the April update, they're still there. Armor that you infused yesterday is armor you will infuse on September 21st. So as these new things drop, if people love, I love my Iron Banner helmet. I've got my, I've got my Boba Fett Warlock helmet with the Mohawk fin on the top. I'm keeping that. It's going to look great with the new armor sets and the ornaments and stuff. I'm going to infuse right into that thing.
Two questions to bounce off of that. Are your intellect, strength, and discipline levels going to be just as good on the old gear as it is on the new gear?
On the year two stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're comparable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then is there going to be a new spark of light for players just coming in with Rise of Iron?
Yes.
Yeah. Character boost, we're calling it now. I don't know if it's going to go by the name Spark of Light, but we do have a character boost.
There's a fictional name for it, but it's a character boost.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
So if you bought Taken King and you never finished all the raids, or if you just feel underleveled.
We want you to be able to play. If you haven't been, we want you to be able to play Rise of Iron. Come in and play. And so it's tailored to that first story mission.
So today we're playing it. We played it 360 here at Gamescom.
That's higher than No, that's much higher than what you'll boost to.
Got it.
There's a lot of room for Guardians to raise their light. So I'm really excited about that. As someone who's only, I'm embarrassed to say, 303 at home.
Don't be embarrassed.
You shouldn't be.
Look, I play at work, man. I feel like there was judgment in what just happened.
Me shaking my head.
Well, you have to play multiple versions.
So the thing for me is I've played this. More than almost anyone, right? So and so I try to play at work every day, but that doesn't count towards hours or light, and so it's very upsetting. But then I play at home a lot, too. It's a sickness. It's a good sickness.
I think it's safe to say you know the game pretty well.
I love the game very much.
You're an excellent producer.
Executive producer,
Let me go produce a spreadsheet.
So just for 100% clarity, is that character boost included with the purchase of Rise of Iron?
Yes, and also the collection.
Yeah, and if you get Destiny the collection, you get all five adventures, and that includes the character boost that came with Taken King. So if you are somebody who's never played Destiny, you know, your roommate, your friend, your significant other finally leans on you and says, you will buy the collection. You can choose your entry point. You can start with Eyes Up, Guardian. You're going to see a lot of things that you're not going to understand. Or you can use the Taken King boost, start playing the Taken King, or you can just say, send me into the Plaguelands.
I'll play with my friends who are already
It's
there.
A good way to handle it.
And if it wins your heart, you can go back and play all the old stuff on another character.
It's interesting how those conversations come up, because you're really wanting to have that balance of making sure you're respecting everyone who's been playing, but also making it really accessible to new players. And we're happy with what we came up with.
Speaking of balance, I really like segues. Deej, you've said in the past that like you guys wanted to pull the Gjallarhorn out because you didn't want one thing that everybody needed to like complete a raid. Mm-hmm. And now it's back.
Now it's back.
Everybody's really happy that it's back, but I feel like that's some sort of conflicting messaging. Mm-hmm. How would you address that claim?
I think when we had that conversation, we were actually taking the entire exotic palette and putting it through a design pass.
Yeah.
So I think that was more of a conversation of why did you adjust the Gjallarhorn? Mm-hmm. The Gjallarhorn didn't make the transition to Destiny the Taken King, but right before we moved on, we did give it a slight adjustment.
Yes.
So it's coming back. It's not going to be the all-purpose tool. We hope it's not going to be the requisite tool to come along on a raid. Mm-hmm. We'll see how things shake out. I would say that the Guardians should be nice to people that don't have the Gjallarhorn, or it's going to get adjusted again.
But the other thing is that there is now a really cool opportunity to reforge the Gjallarhorn, and the quest to get it is a lot of fun and really honors the kind of significance the weapon has in both the lore and in the meta. It's really kind of fun to play with the fact that people have a really strong emotional attachment to the Gjallarhorn, whether they got it or not. They have when you say that word, people have a reaction. Here's my acquisition story, or I never got it, or I got it when Xur, sold it towards the end, or I bought it the second weekend that he sold it.
Or dropped when I came in last place on a losing Crucible team and all my friends hated me and reminded me that I didn't deserve it every time I pulled it out.
It's really interesting and exciting to take that out-of-game narrative, and then that builds the legend of what the thing is in the game. And so you're going to see the journey of like how the Gjallarhorn was crafted, who made it. You're going to have some really fun activities that are just brutal. And so even though it's a pre-order bonus to get the Iron Gjallarhorn, you still have to earn it. Like, the Iron Gjallarhorn is at the Postmaster, but it requires quest completion. Mm-hmm. So once the campaign ends and you go on this journey to get the Gjallarhorn, we think it really honors like that emotion and that memory. Which is something that we were trying to do throughout the release, have this feeling of nostalgia, and also play with the meta of the 2 years that have passed in addition to the end game.
It's funny how you can have nostalgia for a game that's less than 2 years old.
Yeah, and if you've played, how many hours have you
played? Time speeds up on the internet.
About 1,000. 800 last night.
800, I mean, that's pretty good. 1,000's better.
Around
1,000. But so when you've done that, that means that you probably haven't had that initial Cosmodrome experience where you didn't know what was happening in that space in a while. And so there's this, it's interesting how it is. It's only been 2 years, but it's been 1,000 hours. Yeah. And you can go back and see that space, and you're like, oh, it's different. And there's something that, there's some nice feeling there that's just interesting. And that goes with Saladin. Also, you're going to learn about what happened to the Iron Lords and what happened to him. And then you're going to forge your own path on that journey. So there's this real sense of, by bringing back Gjallarhorn, we have a Kvostoff as an exotic. We have this space that then expands out. We were really trying to have that, wrap that all together, but also not play with, but like acknowledge the player on the couch and the experience that they've had and the emotions that they've had. So we talk a lot about philosophy and things. That's great.
It sounds like it's safe to say it will be more substantial than getting the subclass felt from the sound of it.
Talking about as a quest?
Yeah. Like that quest, you sort of arrived at
it's a multi-step quest. In that regard, it's longer, but those are different. You have different goals with that, right?
Would you say if you were to compare it to the moment where I go back to actually an old Crucible map and I'm in there and I'm like fending off some things and I get my new class, does the moment feel bigger with Gjallarhorn when you finally get
it? I think they're very different things, but we're going for a feeling of accomplishment and triumph, and it was fun to go to a Crucible map and fight. I'll say that.
We're running low on time, so I want to go through a bunch of
questions.
Low
on time.
We just got here.
I have a ton of community questions I want to get through. These are all personal questions. So let's try and be really succinct with these answers. Where will Three of Coins still work in Rise of Iron?
Everywhere.
That's from Fuzzle.
Yes.
Everywhere.
They will. So they'll still drop exotics from Rise of Iron.
Yep.
Got it. In Crucible also? But not in private matches.
It won't be in private matches.
Three of Coins works in the Crucible, not in private matches.
Got it.
Cheaters.
Is Saladin a guardian?
Exactly. He's an Iron Lord.
He's an Iron Lord, but he has a ghost.
He does have a ghost. We can confirm that here, and you see it in a cinematic. The way he describes it, he's like, before the Guardians, there were the Iron Lords. Whether he became a guardian after that, you'd have to ask him. I think of him as an Iron Lord.
All right.
I mean, I don't know. I'll call a writer, and I'll find out.
That one was from Chris.
Was it from Barry? No, Chris Barrett? No.
Christopher Barrett wanted to know.
I've done that to him before. So
yeah. Larger fire teams for a patrol, that's from Tan.
No.
Still six?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No,
three.
Three. Yeah, three. I was going to say it's three.
My bad.
That was a nice trick.
That was pretty shifty.
Yeah.
I like this yes, no thing. This is great.
This is great. We should do all our interviews like this. We're only answering yes, no questions.
This one's a nerdy one. I really like it. Thank you, Andy. The Fellwinter artifact will lose a super. How will that affect a weapon like Tlak Tok that I can't say, which needs it for the perk?
I don't know. I don't know the weapon.
It has a perk that activates when your super's full.
Yeah.
But if you have
faster rate of fire.
Sounds like it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the kind of trade-off that you're going to make with the artifact.
Careful. I don't want Reddit to go crazy. It sounds like it wouldn't work.
I mean,
I don't know
from what you described, so just to be clear, I don't know what I'm talking about. But the way the artifacts are designed is that they are supposed to stack on other supers and other perks. So the whole point of them is that you're making a choice. Mm-hmm. You're saying, I'm willing to do this, lose my super, to get another grenade, or willing to even have the friendly fire thing to not have limitless sprint or any of the other combinations. And so
you'll have to sacrifice it.
Yeah. I mean, there's
some artifacts that aren't going to make sense in certain situations.
Yeah, why would you use the Crucible, whatever, like in PvE or whatever?
Right, exactly. There's not going to be any Fallen Devil Splicers with a thorn.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And the one thing where you can turn an enemy combatant into an ally briefly, you can't use that in the Crucible.
Yeah.
We tried.
That would be great.
Yeah, well, the federal government said your video game is not allowed to take control of someone else's mind.
It is insanely fun to punch a servitor and then have it run, for however long it is, 30 seconds. You've done this, right? It's amazing. It's
so
much
fun. You and I were playing that one night, and you said, don't kill that guy.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's on our side. And I was like, holy crap, that's right. And I hadn't seen that yet.
That's
cool.
I'm mad at myself for not talking to you guys about this one yet. But Duba Plays Games asked, tell us more about the community items like the camera, the new camera we're going to be able to use.
So, well, it's not a camera. It's an artifact that overlays an effect. So I think we've said what they are. I don't know.
Go for it.
So, sepia is one, and there's three of them, and it's a cool. It's a more of a. It doesn't change your gameplay, but it's fun. Like you can acquire them, and then you run around and take pictures, or just look cool. Yeah. It gives you a different feel. It's more
fun. Share button, capture raw video for your machinima. I mean, we're giving you a private soundstage now too. So, I mean, if you think about things like Rooster Teeth.
You know, I've heard of those guys. Good friends.
Red versus Blue was born in a Halo map. Where you could have a private match. So the creativity of the Bungie community has always been astounding. You know, this is why we have a movie of the week in every single weekly update. Yeah. So if we do things like deactivate the HUD for your plasma, but also for people that like to take screenshots and then layer in some filters.
We've seen some great stuff with that one too.
We have.
Does it let you lower your weapon to get it out of the frame?
It does not.
So right now you still have to
do the
glitch.
It's an artifact. Don't break the game.
You do the sword thing and then you wait.
It's going to behave like any other. So it's a screen overlay. It doesn't have any other.
So you still have to use the sword thing to make your weapon not be in the shot. So you can.
If that's
a
thing,
camera.
I don't know about that. So sure. Okay. Sure. That sounds good.
So you have to acquire it.
You don't earn it. Well, it's an Eververse. I believe the three of them are.
You tell me.
No, they are. I mean, that's where they are, but
it's
I don't think there's another
silver packages. Is that what they're called?
They are not in the Radiant Treasure Boxes.
Okay. Yeah. Got it. Will Xur appear in Fellwinter's Peak now? That's from Havoc.
No.
Just anywhere he can still
appear. Same locations.
Anywhere?
He will be in the tower and the reef.
He'll never go to Felwinter's Peak.
So Felwinter Peak is...
Felwinter
Peak.
My bad.
It's very embarrassing for you. Felwinter Peak is... at least there's not a picture of him up, though.
Yeah.
Felwinter Peak, part of it is you earn it in the campaign. You you defeat the Fallen there and clear it out. And so you want to make sure everyone has access to Xur.
That makes a lot of sense. That's why he's the executive producer.
Video games.
Havoc wrote that. I'm gonna put it on. Thanks, Havoc. He wrote Felwinter.
Didn't think.
Oh, it's not your fault.
Not my fault.
You have a girlfriend.
Accurate. She's real. Will our current Int Disc strength gear levels be okay? We answered that one. Is there going to be a new soundtrack? That's from Jen.
Oh my God! You just hit me in my sweet spot. Yeah. The music in this game is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Like there's nothing that makes me more excited to talk about than the music. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
It is so heroic and epic, and one of the new patrols. There's a moment that comes every time. I don't know if it's only there, but it's where I always hear it. And it's very, there's a lot of Destiny music that's amazing, and this is my favorite. And so, and I'm really, I'm one of those guys who will put the menu on and just walk around. And I have the soundtrack on my phone, and I'm a nerd, right? And so, but this music, I cannot wait to get on my phone. I used to listen to they sent us the MIDIs earlier, like the work in progress stuff, and they were like, don't share this around. I just listened to it at my desk.
Yeah.
And now there's a full orchestration. You see in the Vidoc, if you haven't had a chance to watch the Vidoc yet, you see a bit of it and you hear it. And the theme is great. Like, those guys killed it.
Mm-hmm. So are we getting a new soundtrack?
I actually don't know that. But I know that there is a new score, and there's a lot of music, so I hope so. I want one.
Is that going to replace the Taken King on your...
It will.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so the title screen is going to change.
Awesome.
Yeah. And it will have the new score as you go on into the... so that'll be for everyone, the score, similar to last year. And we got really excited about that because the score is so strong and we want to get people in the mood for Rise of Iron.
Draven wants to know, is there hard difficulty patrols on the way? Are there?
No. Oh, you mean different difficulty tiers for patrols?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Okay. And what's the new Max Grimoire score from Chris?
Oh, I have no idea.
I don't either.
I didn't.
Sorry, Chris.
I don't know what the Max Grimoire score is now off the top of my head.
Someone told me today that they were, one of the people who interviewed me today said that the only thing they had to do was max their Grimoire score, and they were going to do it within days. That's amazing.
Really?
Yeah, and that was his goal right now. And he was like right before this new game launches, so good timing.
Wow.
Can we go back to the Gjallarhorn really fast, has the balance been changed since we last saw it? So things like how the Wolfpack rounds are affect things.
Absolutely.
So it's a different Gjallarhorn than we saw.
Well, it behaves exactly the same, but it's the right Gjallarhorn balance for Rise of Iron. Yeah. When we brought it back, it was, we were looking at, it wasn't like we were sitting there like, when are we going to bring the Gjallarhorn back? It was very much, you started looking at pictures like this and, hey, there's wolves on the armor. It was this very like, this makes sense. And so then we started talking about how to make it appropriate for this, and that's when we came up with the idea of doing a quest and all that. So it wasn't like it was just this master plan of bringing it back. It was really looking at the germ of the idea and then trying to – it was like another – that makes sense. Okay. And then that felt good.
But, that affects it. Like when you go back to even like year one Crucible matches with it, it's going to be different when you install Rise of Iron. Speaking of exotics, the Nemesis Star, you showed it to us. So why don't you just tell us the perk? Yeah, it's in the stream. So you
I'm not gonna do that.
The ornaments. You can't just tell us what that N means.
No.
Okay.
That's not fun. Well, you saw the ornaments. They're cool.
Yeah, the ornaments
are cool. They're fun.
I'm excited about those.
Yeah, they're amazing. They make me it's good when, like, I got Monte Carlo, or I was playing in our pretend wacky verse. And where you can get stuff, right? And so I have Monte Carlo, and I'm like, I'm going to play with the ornaments here. And it really increased my attachment to it. I was like, this gold. You see, if you watch the Viaduct, you see a glimpse of it. This gold, like, insanely intense Monte Carlo. I was like, though there was no reason to use it, I was like, I want this.
Yep.
And it felt good. And it shows in your character screen the different version. And so we're excited to see. We're going to increase a lot of variety, we think, in gear types from... we have Chroma, now we have the ornament system, and seeing all these combinations with the weapons, you're going to see three different, right now, you're going to be able to see three different Hawk Moons, for instance, and that's going to be fun.
So how long have you been with Bungie?
4.5 years.
4.5 years. Yeah. So were you there for any of the Halo?
No.
So I'll ask the question anyway. What? Well, I want to. So, like, when Halo launched, you saw all these community sites pop up, and you saw like Rooster Teeth. They started making the machinimas and everything like that. Now with Destiny, it's kind of happened again, but differently. How has the community side changed?
I was thinking about this just the other day because I came from a landscape of private clan sites. We even had like a United Nations, sort of like a NATO, of different Halo clans that were all sort of committed to the same ideals of sportsmanship and goodwill and healthy competition. And that was what kind of defined the Halo community, is you installed your PHP forum, you know, your simple machines, whatever. You know, you had your front page, you had your blog, you know, everybody had their own, you know, team branding and stuff. I think it's become a lot more tribal in terms of the different personalities that you follow. I think Twitch and the different channels and the chat rooms has really replaced that. We do see very recognizable Destiny clans, but instead of having a clan site, what you see is they manifest with social media. You know, the Rezo guys have a real strong sense of branding. There's all these Rezo Twitter accounts, and they have all got the Rezo logo on their, you know, on their cover photo,
proud
cover
member
image.
Of team, yeah.
Are you?
No, I'm not. Chris
He's 303.
Christopher Barrett is a member.
Chris
of,
is. Chris is very proud.
Team Resolute.
And proud member of Team Resolute.
I think social media has eliminated the need for installing your own clubhouse and your own base of operations. And we'll give you the real estate to do that on Bungie.net. So when it really comes down to where do we go to talk about the raid, where do we go to plan our time, we'll give that to people. My own clan site was incubated on Bungie.net. And then over time, we thought, I want like a separate officers club, and I want a place where people can swap art or get to know each other or plan land
This
parties.
Is why he has his job.
And this is why I have my job. Yeah. And everything I know about clans and community are things that Bungie kind of taught me or inspired me to explore. And I would love to see that happen again. I would recommend it to anybody out there that wants an interesting web project, or when people say to me, how do I become a community manager? I tell them, you got to build your own community first. You know, if you want to become an artist at Bungie, you have a great portfolio. If you want to become a writer at Bungie, you have works that you've authored. If you want to become an engineer at Bungie, you know, you've worked on games, or you've written your own code, or you've modded your own builds, or you're really good at math. You know, you can solve these horrible logic bombs they're going to throw at you during the 8-hour interview. If you want to be a community manager, find your voice, find some way to bring gamers together and give them a destiny, give them some sort of shared culture. And we're enabling people to do that on our website and now in the game. So I hope it flourishes. I hope it, you know, sort of manifests like a flame and people start doing this sort of thing. If they don't have their own fancy clan sites with a blog and a forum, it kind of feels like the internet has moved on past that. You know, and you've seen a lot of things where, you know, you've got a streamer like Laced Up Lauren, and she has her cool kids table. So there's this tribal phenomenon that's actually kind of originating around singular personalities. And any good sub-community needs a strong leader. And who better than a streamer who has a very vivid identity and is used to talking to a large group of people?
And that didn't exist at all, you know, like 5 years ago. You couldn't have imagined that. And so that's where my head went instantly with streaming, as being an evolution of that kind of thing. And the fact that they're personality-based, it's just such a fascinating, interesting world that we're living in right
now. Well, when my clan, when we stormed into the Halo Reach beta, we used something called Justin TV to stream out.
Yeah.
And that was essentially, you know, sort of the origin of the Twitch species.
That was Twitch,
And so, you know, that's kind of, that's old school, right? But it didn't have all the features. It didn't have the community. It didn't have the vivid sense of personality. You know, we weren't throwing up a green screen. We were just kind of telling the internet, you know, here's Halo Reach. And over time, it has evolved into this amazing platform that we've used to really form a good and powerful relationship with the Twitch community, you know, and we're going to go to TwitchCon. We're going to hang out with those, you know, people that are, you know, really find a sense of. Yeah, you're going to be there?
Yeah, man.
Cool. Buy you a beer.
Thank you. You heard it, folks.
I'm going to reach into your couch cushions.
You're going to have to take that photo now.
Money for that beer.
Exactly. Oh, this was not rehearsed. This What's is pretty impressive, by the way.
Oh, look at this.
This is impressive.
Well, I like how we're in a skit now.
Wow.
This is great.
Oh, wow, thank you.
And for you, if you're listening, if you're listening at home, Deej has just unveiled two, not three, even though there's three other people here. strange coins.
Wow, CJ, these are so cool.
CJ, friend of the pod, yeah, not here today, mm-hmm. there today, yeah, is yep. is passed out.
Very
so excited. You know, it's just,
you can
it's
check
not,
that in his ear.
It's not
you
real, it's not
mine,
hovering,
it's okay.
and it's not moving in a strange or whatever, I can't remember the text. But he didn't give me one.
Oh.
The takeaway here
is
that,
CJ.
Wait, that's not for me?
The third card.
Just throwing... throwing plastic trinkets, throwing plastic trinkets out into the world.
Thank you very
solid
much.
Solid gold, bro.
Very
yeah.
kind of you.
Yeah.
You were saying the takeaway.
Takeaways. I didn't get one.
Yeah.
Let's well. Say, but they're awesome. They were great. I didn't know you were. That's good.
I got a whole bag of them down in the.
And we'll see if I'm worthy of one then.
The booth.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
So they were telling us to wrap it up.
They are.
Yeah.
I think I have the perfect end question, which is, I always ask you this. So what do we expect in the coming weeks? Rise of Iron is but a month away, practically.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's the rollout plan? I know you must have one. So
well,
can
we're
we
not
expect
even
something?
Done. This hype train has a couple more stops
that's what
to
I'm
make
saying.
Before it rolls
oh, what's
into
next
the station.
For that?
Yeah, so yeah.
Who knows?
Step one is we're going to fly home to Seattle. step two is we're going to go to PAX.
Yeah.
So if you can, are you guys coming to PAX?
We're at Destiny Con.
Oh, you're in Tampa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right,
that'll be fun.
That.
Yeah.
But Sean
oh,
will
yeah?
be at
yeah,
PAX.
Sean Finnegan.
Okay.
He'll be
friend good. Of the show.
Friend of the
Very
pod.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
But what's going on at PAX?
Well, we're going to have some fun ways to engage with Destiny at PAX. I'm gonna check with away team captain Brittany one more time before I make promises about that stuff.
That's a good idea.
But if you're going to be at PAX and you're a Destiny fan, we'll have some fun stuff for you to do. So come find us on the floor. I hear we're going to be near the pizza or something like that.
Ooh.
But yeah.
Okay. Convention pizza.
Convention yeah. pizza. I love sure. I love convention pizza. Walker can tell you that we were at E3 and we finished a thing and I was like, I want some nasty heat lamp pizza.
And he's like, I've got you covered.
Let's go over here. And so that yeah,
a few
so
weeks
that
before.
And then
yeah, then we're getting into it.
Yeah,
but you're dodging my question, which is real. Which
the,
you
want
to mean? You mean in game?
But can we expect? You rolled out like exotics on Instagram last
oh, that?
Time around.
Oh, and sure.
Can
we'll
we
have...
expect some substantial drops before, or are you going to be?
We'll have some fun on social media.
Yeah.
I think we've said a lot about Rise of Iron. You know a
you want
lot
some surprises,
about
right? Like yeah. I haven't heard you saying before. You're like, I don't want to watch these things to see. It's probably ruined
yeah.
now. But
yeah, I but, have to for my job.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Poor thing. But they like I think there's something to that. Like I want people to. Come into it and like have a sense of discovery because mm-hmm. that's you're literally climbing a mountain at the beginning, right? So we want to have that feeling of discovery that you don't want to say everything.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to make it, you want to have people excited and surprised on the 20th at yeah. I guess 2 a.m. Pacific time.
We don't want it to be one of those things where the entire movie is in the four trailers
yeah.
that you watched.
Yeah, absolutely, right.
So yeah, there will still be some things for you to enjoy and. Some of the best moments in Destiny are when the community discovers something and they figure it out for themselves. You were talking before, you were like, Reddit's going to go crazy. Mm-hmm. That's what they do.
Don't go crazy.
They come together and they work the problem together. And if they have nothing left to talk about, if they have nothing left that puzzles them, that they can come together and say, I have explained it. And everybody goes, yeah, it's like the people who originate in the community that can answer those questions and help people solve those problems end up being the heroes. And we love that.
Mm-hmm. Well, very nice.
Well, I believe we've come to the end of the show.
This is very disappointing.
Yeah.
It's a special time.
It feels like you, yeah. I don't know how long we ran.
We're willing to stay.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you don't have any more questions or want to talk about Destiny.
I do have
That's
more
fine.
Questions.
No, it sounds like you guys aren't interested.
In what we are. We
There's
were,
no picture
we got
of me.
The official.
No.
You got someone waved slightly.
Yeah.
That's very official. Yeah. Your will is not your
Blame
own.
Blame your PR guy for anything.
Blame my PR guy. Hi, Walker.
You can just turn off your cameras, and we'll stay, and we'll tell you secrets.
Let's just tell them all about the raid.
Plan.
Let's get the thing
More
off.
About the raid and Destiny 2 and yep. the future.
Yep.
That's actually
Destiny 3, why not?
They actually tell us everything after we pretend that we don't know anything. It probably makes you guys mad, but that's just how it works.
Yep.
Yeah. That
when,
is
and
not
then when
true.
You world first the raid.
Yeah.
And then when you world first the raid and we strip you of your gold.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, that would be a scandal.
Wouldn't it be?
That would be really. Let's not do that.
No.
Yeah.
I try not to laugh because you said Fran could world first to raid.
Oh, that's...
I know, right?
Wow. Jeez.
I would laugh, but I'm in the same
It's
boat.
Good to be back. It's good to be back.
All right, guys, so. We should probably wrap it up.
Okay, great.
Thank
fun.
You so much. Do you want to do the outro?
Can I do it? Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to do an intro too, but
an intro.
Well, I thought it would be good to do Guardians In or Eyes Up Guardians at the beginning, because you don't have a signature. Well, I mean, you have kind of a welcome traditions.
You don't get to do this.
What? I can do what I want.
Their show.
No, it's not.
What do you got?
You have a kind of affect. It's like welcome to Fireteam Chat, and that's your thing. Mm-hmm. I consider that your thing, but I don't know. Maybe something a little more like signature. Like, I don't want to tell you how to do your job.
Eyes Up Guardian.
I like Eyes
Up.
Hopefully they're jogging around a lake like me when I listen to the show.
Yeah. You're getting executive produced right now.
I like this. I'm just saying,
every moment's an opportunity to tell a story or to make an impression.
Wow, I like that.
And so, this is how I think about games, right? So every moment that you're doing a pod like this or a show or live stream, I don't know what you kids call it. We're probably the same.
A pod.
I always call it pods. You have an opportunity to have a signature there, right? So something like, what's wrong with you?
I'm just sitting here, man.
Yeah. I like it.
We should work together more.
I think you might come
back. I'll do Guardians Out, and I think that's awesome. Wish you'd try a little harder on the intro. No, I'm just kidding. It's great. You do have a signature. It's like, welcome to Fireteam Chat.
Yeah.
I'm Dustin Legarra.
I'm welcoming the viewer. Uh-huh. I'm like, hello, thank you for joining us.
Sure.
I'm here with this guy and that guy.
Yeah, no, that's
but
good.
It's not as clever as Eyes Up, Guardian.
Or something. I just made that up. I don't want to tell you how to do it.
Guarantee you the episode.
I'm going to do Guardian. Everyone's turned off by now.
No.
We probably could talk about whatever we want.
We could, actually.
Sitting here waiting.
I wanted to give something to them, but I guess we have Saladin as a ghost. And we're getting strange coins. Saladin has a ghost.
Saladin has a ghost.
You're so defeated. You're like,
I was able to say year two moments of triumph, and I was excited about that.
Yeah.
Sure I want to bring you things.
There's a raid, and six people can plan it. So I'm going to do Guardians out. I've destroyed everything. All the goodwill I've brought is gone.
All right. All right. So on three.
The center camera.
Center camera. Yeah.
One.
Thank you for joining us.
No,
One, two, three.
Guardians.
Oh, my God.
Wait,
no.
I thought he was going to do so until next time.
Yeah, that's all
that's what
do.
You got to.
All right.
We
can edit, too.
Magic of that.
I don't know. People need this.
Which right. camera?
Until
which?
Next time. Well, I'm going to go. Ready?
Yeah.
Until next time.
Guardians out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.